Long ago, I fell victim to every trap of the fat loss industry. I let coaches prey on my insecurity and lack of knowledge. I was led to fear carbs, exercise obsessively, fast, and take every supplement under the sun. And all I got for it was bodybuilding trophies and depression. That's why I built Muscle Bound Mama, to prevent women from falling into the same traps I did. I'm Sophie Smith-Doré, and I help women change their relationship with food for life. No gimmicks, no shame, just metabolic science and love. In this podcast, we call out the food demonization and fat shaming of the weight loss industry. We discuss how social conditioning and outdated nutrition science have groomed women to struggle with body image and nutritional competence. We love carbs, we love our bodies, and we won't be told otherwise. We eat the fucking cake. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Muscle Bound Mama Eat the Fucking Cake podcast. This episode is called Permission to Succeed. Now, I'm going to share an experience that I have had that changed my life. I almost didn't write this episode. While I'm an open book, this topic has had a lot of layers for me that I'm still unraveling. And the decision I decided to go ahead with it is I had lunch with a new friend, and our conversation went in a bit of a different direction, as conversations do, but I had a moment of, so it's not just me that liberated me in a way that was really new for me. And I love when I have these moments. This new friend has reached out to me a few times on social media when I was taking heat for my advocacy work in town. She has always been a voice of reason, and I respected her immensely for her articulate insight into the things that I was facing and her ability to draw my attention to the broader scope of my advocacy so that I could see wins even in the ugly moments, because there's a lot of ugly moments in advocacy. And while I didn't know her well, I knew some of her own advocacy work, and I have enormous respect for her as an accomplished and self-made woman who is raising good humans. So over lunch, we talked about our mutual experiences as first-time university students in our 40s and the barriers that come with that and that kept us from pursuing our respective degrees. And as I mentioned, I'm normally an open book and share my experiences freely, but still, I'd never spoken about my obstacles before this moment with anyone except my husband. And I had only had that conversation with him 2 years ago. I shared this with her, and in hearing the words come out of my mouth, I could see it objectively and made a connection that was so much bigger than me. So the moment I got home, I knew I had to get these words down. So here they are. Now, I grew up in a small town with parents who were way too young to be parents, one of whom was a victim of generational trauma, and neither of them had completed their high school education, which was not uncommon for the time in our area, but also, I mean, they were 17. So growing up, we never talked about aspirations and dreams and goals for our futures, and I never saw my parents excited about pursuing something that was passionate for them. They each worked several jobs to make ends meet. And when my brother and I got older, we were encouraged to get in early with the local factory to secure a good job. No one talked about college or university, and I don't even remember being asked what I wanted to be when I grew up outside of, you know, in the classroom. As I got older, school became more challenging, as school does, and my interest in it waned. Now, if I loved the subject, I rocked it, but if I didn't, I barely passed. My friends were interested in their coursework in high school and diligently planned their futures with their parental support. And my friends wanted to be, you know, things like nurses and archaeologists and teachers. And I just wanted to graduate and get the hell out of there. I remember sitting across from guidance counselors in those mandatory meetings who would say, "Sophie, you would be excellent in social work or social justice and the arts. And here's the path." And I would be like, okay, thanks, bye. But the truth is, I felt unworthy of it all. before me, no one in my entire family had graduated high school, much less gone to college. So I felt it just wasn't something that my people did. My people got jobs, as many as we could, and we scraped by, and we didn't ask for help from anyone. Despite this, I knew I wanted more than, you know, my entire family was prepared to accept, but I didn't know what it looked like, much less how I would obtain it. So 2 years after I graduated high school, I moved to Ottawa to go to college, but I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. I just knew I needed to do it. I did graduate, and it was not pretty, but I worked in my industry for a long time. And then life rolled in, as life does, and I spent a lot of time just kind of rolling with the punches, not in control of my destiny, but reacting to my environment. The decisions that I made were for the good of those around me. So if I was in a relationship, it was for the good of them. And, you know, where I lived and where I worked, what I did, all of those things had to contribute to the common good. And that was, you know, other people. But I wasn't happy. I built Musclebound Mama as a side hustle because my work was not fulfilling me anymore. I loved it. For the first time, I was doing something that I enjoyed that was for me. It was all online and it didn't interfere with my family life and I could still be everything to everyone. But then it became my full-time job because it grew exponentially and I kept working and building. But there was a piece that I was so excited to add to my business that I needed to obtain a degree to do. And I sat on that wish for years and I didn't tell a soul. I didn't just want to help women with their body composition through nutrition. I wanted to help them with the relationship with food, and that has nothing to do with food. I wanted my master's in psychology. When this realization came to a head, because it was silently simmering, my husband was skipping through life with all the white male privilege afforded to him in the world, and he collected degrees and grabbed every course extended to him, every learning opportunity. And trust me, so many were provided for him. And I'm not discrediting my husband's career in any way, but it simply never occurred to him that he might not be entitled to something, or that something he wanted to do might be inconvenient for someone else. He just announced what he was doing, and then the world around him was of no consequence to him. It just all unrolled because that's how men are socialized. But my breaking point was his announcement that he was taking his master's. He worked full time and his master's degree was not online, so he would be commuting to the university, which was over an hour away from our home. And at this time, I had a 12-year-old and an infant, and I was trying to run my business and, of course, the home, and without a present husband. During this time, I had a breakdown. Obviously, I was carrying way too much, and it was easy to see that. And I didn't complain about it because we were socially conditioned to be everything to everyone and to not ask for anything and to make it look flawless, right? Except it was fundamentally incongruent with my beliefs and values, and it was eating me alive. I was bitter, and I was resentful, and I was angry. I wanted what he had. I wanted to do what he was doing. I wanted to feel like it was my right to want something and go get it, and that my family would just happily and voluntarily pick up my slack. But I couldn't say it out loud. Once he graduated, it was a huge relief, and I was so happy not to be everything to everyone again. But then he began talking about taking his doctorate, and that is when I lost it. I finally broke. And as the words came out of my mouth, I felt like I wasn't even in my body. I've wanted to say these things for so long, but not only did I not initially have the words, I didn't feel entitled to want the things I wanted. So here, paraphrased, is what I blurted out. Growing up, I was told that I get what I get and I don't get upset, right? Have you heard that? Reaching for goals leads to disappointment. So don't be selfish, just take what comes and do good work with what comes your way. And as a girl, my job was to grow up and get married and have kids, and the rest was a bonus. My needs didn't matter because my job was caring for everyone else. If I wanted something, I had to ensure that it didn't interfere with anyone else or their needs, right? Have you felt that? So I convinced myself that my needs were irrelevant because it's easier to do that, isn't it? than to say that you can't have something. This message wasn't unique to me. My generation grew up with it, and you can see it and feel it even in rape culture. Women orgasm less than men. Why do you think that is? It's because we don't matter. And I'm expected to take the day off when my kids have an appointment, right? Are you? When they're sick, I have to stay home with them and make their doctor's appointments. And society conditioned that. They condition women to understand that they come last. Spouse and kids first, then maybe us. But also, it conditions men that this is how we want it to be. This is the natural order of things. Now, by this time, his eyes were wide, and mostly because I was bawling, but he looked visibly sick to his stomach. He had grown up with an entirely different understanding of the world because it was based on his social conditioning. He had no idea that it could be so hard to even acknowledge that you want something, much less to ask for it. He had only seen the world through the lens of his white male privilege. And even though he actively encouraged me to get out of my comfort zone, our entire relationship, it didn't occur to him that we're socially conditioned to that zone. And his social conditioning contributes to that as well. The relief I felt having said it out loud was indescribable. It was one of the first times in my life that I'd acknowledged that I did actually want more, and that was terrifying. We discussed what it means. You know, he would be making dinners on some nights and putting the kids to bed and solo parenting for some weekends when I had tight deadlines. And it was a huge adjustment for both of us, but it was easier for him than it was for me because I was still finding myself choosing family responsibilities over school and spreading myself way too thin. And to be honest, this is still a work in progress. My entire life, I thought I would require permission to succeed because I was not intrinsically entitled to it. I thought I would patiently wait my turn and that opportunity for success would come along. And I would say, "Ooh, that would be nice, but not right now." And then my husband would say, "You should do that. The kids are grown. I'm successful. It's your turn." It turns out this isn't the 1800s anymore. And my having a family doesn't represent a sacrifice I have made. It is merely one of the ways I've decided to enrich my life. And it doesn't have to be an obstacle. Just the same way I'd been taking all the bullets for my family life so that my kids and spouse could just march along on their merry way, they can do the same for me. I was waiting for permission to succeed. As a feminist and someone who strongly believes in egalitarian relationships, I was shocked and embarrassed by this revelation. As I mentioned earlier, I was reluctant even to talk about this. I have a strong personality, and I'm the first person to stand up and call out injustice, but here I was enabling my own. Can you relate to this? I know many of you can, and that's why I felt compelled to share. This dynamic is one that I frequently see in conversations with clients and potential clients. At Musclebound Mama, we have a few different service options, which range in cost from hundreds to thousands. And as I mentioned, I recognized a few years into my business that weight loss isn't just about losing weight. The weight won't come off until the changes are realistic, and they won't stay off if they aren't sustainable. But these things are influenced not just by what we eat, but by why we eat. There's no diet to solve the why we eat. That's mindset work. And this is the opposite of what we are told or what we are made to believe by the diet culture. And this is the purpose of our top tier coaching program and the reason I've decided to pursue the qualifications of a psychologist in the first place. A person's body image is extremely personal, and seeking help to change your body composition is a vulnerable process. Where there's money attached to the process of changing your body composition, it becomes a family conversation because most families make financial decisions together and should. One time I had a client book a call with me to chat about the top tier program, and this story will stick with me forever. And honestly, it was the first thing I thought of when I thought about this episode. This 6-month VIP coaching program is our top tier program. And in this conversation, I could hear in her voice that she was tired of tripping over the same obstacle her entire life, and she was ready to learn how to move around it. We had such a great chat, And over the 30-minute call, I could see her relax and I watched her grow empowered. She had hope and she could see that she was about to change her relationship with food. She went on to book her mapping call later that week, and guess what her primary obstacles were? Her family dynamic was one where she was the base of the pedestal that held up her entire family. Her wants and needs shifted around those of her family, and it isn't that they even asked that of her. She just did it. We all do it, right? When we were working on a plan for her meals, she was firm in that her husband would only eat, you know, X meal, and she had to make separate meals for him and her kids because everybody ate different things. Her husband would cook on some nights, which is excellent, but she had to make her own meals on those nights anyway because she had dietary restrictions due to a medical condition. And she never asked him to accommodate because it was too much trouble, she thought. And she worried that he wouldn't want to cook at all if he had to accommodate her. So instead of, you know, cooking everyone's meals, at least she was only cooking her own. Now, as you can see, her obstacles were tough to work around, but we built a plan. Now, part of that plan was informing her husband that this was an important decision for her. We wrote down all of the things that she said to me and the hopes that she had, and she needed a support in order to do this. This is not a solo venture. She was extremely reluctant to have this conversation, but without her partner's support, there was just no way for her to make new, hard decisions around her self-care. Her issue was always setting herself on fire to keep her family warm, and part of changing her relationship with food was balancing the dynamic at home so that she could create the space to take care of herself. Later that day, she canceled her program. She'd had a conversation with her husband, and he was not prepared to support her. He didn't think it was a priority, and so she canceled. Now, I'm not here to judge anyone's relationship, but I am here to say that this is not the first time a woman has put her needs aside for the comfort of her family, and it won't be the last. There are so many factors involved in perpetuating this dynamic. I mean, I could go on about this for hours, but have you ever noticed messages on children's clothing, for example? So boys' clothing, they all say future legend or never quit or go hard. And girls' clothing says things like kindness club or good vibes only or love. So right from the beginning, we're building the path for women to make space at their own expense and for men to just do what they want. And there's something called a confidence gap between men and women that contributes to this dynamic as well. A job posting that lists six requirements, and a woman may have, you know, five of them, but she won't apply because she's missing one. Whereas a man will apply with one of the six qualifications. And men are not wrong here. They will get the job statistically. Another factor perpetuating this dynamic is social media. How many times in your feed in a day do you see posts glamorizing the complete mom exhaustion that we all experience, right? So someone's just posted a makeupless selfie beside a pile of four loads of laundry and a sleeping infant hanging off of her nipple. And she's being real about her day. And other moms come on and say, oh, you're such a rock star, rather than, why can't your husband do the laundry? We celebrate women who give tirelessly at their own expense, and it's trash. I was at a conference this fall, and this conference is all about empowering female business owners. But one of the awards that they gave out was to, and I'm quoting, a woman who gives her time and energy effortlessly and selflessly and never asks for anything in return. Stop doing this. The gender wage gap, the confidence gap, the second shift, unpaid labor, these are all facts that contribute to women burning out and struggling to succeed. And they exist because we feed and celebrate it. We can't do this anymore. Now, first and foremost, I am not dissing men. Men have their own social conditioning that is equally tragic and contributes to their disproportionate rate of incarceration and even death by suicide. I love men. My most favorite human on this earth is one. I don't want us to beat them. I want us to join them. And in order to do this, we have to commit to shedding this belief that we have to ask for permission. When my husband wanted to take up Brazilian jiu-jitsu, he came home and he said, I found a BJJ club and classes are at 7 p.m. every weeknight. He did not say, listen, there's this class and I want to take it 5 days a week during witching hour, which is so, so hard. And I was hoping it would be okay if I went to maybe like one or two classes a week. I know it's a lot to ask. Maybe you could, help her, or maybe I could move the kids' bedtime up and put them to bed before I go, right? The fact is, so many of us do things because we don't want to ask for help. And the reason is we know we'll meet resistance. That resistance isn't because our husbands are jerks. It's because we're not conditioned to ask for what we want. We're conditioned to take the leftovers and be happy with them. My own feminist husband said to me recently, I helped with the vacuuming. And I reminded him that he did not help, he vacuumed. I am not the sole owner of the responsibility of vacuuming, and you're not helping me by vacuuming, you're just vacuuming. And he didn't mean that it's my job, because it truly isn't. Like, literally someone else vacuums my house. But here we are, saturated in these messages, and they're so automatic, and they are not harmless. Now, I'm not saying, you have to say, F them all, I do what I want now, and then just plow through life, taking no prisoners. What I am saying is that by constantly asking for permission to succeed, you will literally never get it. I want you to think about your own family dynamic right now. Have you ever thought it would be so much easier for me if my husband took over the dinner two nights a week? And then thought immediately, yeah, but... Or maybe you've even suggested it in passing, and while watching his face malfunction in confusion, you offered, never mind, I'll just... Right? That is your clue that you're in this trap. The reality is, no one's success is solo. Our family should not be our obstacle. We do not need to choose to be a mother or successful. And doing both shouldn't mean we shut off who we are to do the impossible. If your husband wanted to make a big decision to benefit him, he would say to you, this is what I'm doing, and you would make it work. He is also capable of helping you make your needs work, but you have to give him the opportunity. Perhaps he'll be resistant, and perhaps his face will malfunction, but will he die, is my question. And I'm guessing that the answer is no. Here are the facts. You have wants. You have needs, you have goals, and they are not unreasonable. Statistically speaking, they are way smaller asks than those of men in your world. If you've been trying to meet those wants, needs, and goals, but keep tripping over the same obstacle, which for women is usually dropping our needs for our family's needs, you need to do something different, right? No matter how many times you walk into that wall, it's not going to move. You have to move around it. It's time to stop asking for permission. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Fun fact, that is not an Einstein quote. Okay, Sophie, but how? One way is to write yourself a permission slip. I know it's weird, but I have clients who swear by it. I give myself permission to blank because blank. And if you move away from being the person solely responsible for meal planning in your family, you might say, I give myself permission to relinquish meal prep by giving my family the responsibility 2 days a week. Or perhaps you want to join a gym, and the time that works best for you is 6 to 7 a.m. when your kids are just getting up and getting ready for the day, and you're the one who ushers them through that process primarily. It might say, I give myself permission to relinquish the responsibility of helping the kids get ready 3 mornings a week because my needs are important. Seeing the words is extremely important. Last week, we talked about how words matter, and this is a perfect example of that. You are entitled to success, and you don't need permission to succeed. You don't have to be sick or bedridden to have people do things that you normally do. Those roles are not yours because you are a wife and a mom. You're in a partnership, right? The shift takes time, but it is worth it. And you are worth that effort. Thanks for listening, everyone. And don't forget to eat the fucking cake.
If you're loving what you're learning in this podcast, you will love our amazing community of like-minded women. Hop over to our website to learn more about all the ways to be part of this supportive powerhouse community of ass-kicking mamas at musclebound.com. And don't forget to follow us on social while you're there. Lastly, it would make my day if you could rate, review, and subscribe. It helps more musclebound mamas like you find our show. No matter what your goals, we've got you, mama.